If you had not loved us and died for us and rose from the dead, we would still be deceived and lost and headed to eternal damnation. We are grateful that, Lord, you loved us and you convicted us and you drew us to yourself. We're grateful for that today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say praise the Lord in this way. Even though it's hot outside, Alabama gets close to hell this time of year. And boy, is it hot. But God is good. Amen? Amen. And though our air conditioning is straining, it's still cooler in here than it is outside. Amen? All right. All right. I want y'all to take your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. That's where we're going to start. I guess you could call this number 3 in the series of Christianity 101. So I guess would be 102 was last week, 103 is this week. But this one's simple. This one's simple. We're going to read a couple of passages in the Gospel of Luke here, and then who knows where we'll go after that. But here is, when you talk about Christianity 101, here is something that you really, even after you're saved, after you're born again, especially new Christians, need to get this down inside of them. Two things I'm going to say here. God loves you, and there is forgiveness. You understand? There is forgiveness. God's desire for us is for us to come to him and just be humble, admit our sins, and if we fall down, to get back up and say, Lord, forgive me, help me not do this anymore, help me go on. And the Bible is very clear that he forgives, and he doesn't have to. He's not obligated, right? Forgiveness is an amazing thing, which shows us both the patience, the mercy of God, and that he loves us. The fact that we can screw up numerous times and he will forgive us. Now, I'm going to show you something here, and I'm going somewhere. I have a whole new batch of haters now that we'll deal with in a second. But let's just look at this, because this is an important passage here. This is we're going to go to Luke 7, 36 here, verse 36. Luke 7, 36, we'll start reading there. And one of the Pharisees, somebody say one of the Pharisees. Yeah, these guys, man. One of the Pharisees desired that he, speaking of Jesus, desired that Jesus would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who or what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, let me give you a little, I'm going to insert something here for a few of you. This is the truth movement right here. The truth movement, for the most part, has gone completely astray. And I'll tell you why. Because they're completely leaning upon the flesh. They're completely leaning upon their detective work or what they know about someone's past. And immediately, if you don't agree with everything these truthers, and I call them goofer truthers now, I have to give credit where credit is due. Paint Tank came up with that one. It's a great one. But these goofer truthers, the moment that you don't fall in line with every single thing that they think they know, boom, boy. But most of them don't even go to church. They're not submitted to any spiritual authority whatsoever. And I'll tell you something else right now as I get into this. This is something the Lord has kept saying to me for the last 2 days, but they're sleeper cells, folks. Sleeper cells in the truth movement. There's sleeper cells that have infiltrated the churches. The enemy has infiltrated just about everywhere, but especially the truth movement. You need to understand, there are people that will lay low for a long time until it's time to spring into action. And I know, y'all ought to know over the years how I've confronted so many of them. Y'all remember dealing with Behind the Circus series. Anybody remember that one? Well, I won't go there, but I want you to see this. Immediately, this Pharisee, verse 39, says within himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering, I like this because Jesus was answering his thoughts. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most." And he has said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time she came in, the time that I came in, hath not ceased but to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Now, this story, I believe, is very important in the body of Christ because it's almost like sometimes we forget that even people who have been messing up for years, even Christians who have fallen down or gotten into error or fallen into sin, can repent. They can ask God for forgiveness and be forgiven right then and there, even if they're famous. You understand? And they can be restored to doing what God called them to do, even if they screwed it up for 20 years before that. What has happened to us that we think spiritual discernment is somehow detective work into someone's past? I don't understand what's happened. People think because they can look up something about somebody on the internet that that's the definition of who they are. And I've said this over and over again over the last few weeks, but your discernment is not detective work about the past. Discernment is Holy Spirit-given revelation about where a person is now. Are they walking with Jesus now? Have they repented of their sins and errors in the past? Where are they today? Not where they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And what's wild is that just like Jesus, if you associate with that sinner that's repented, the religious go, "Ooh, I thought he was a prophet, but not now." They turn on you like a pit bull with rabies. Just because you dare to acknowledge that a person has actually repented and they can be forgiven, no matter what bad things they've done. They can be forgiven, washed clean by the blood of Jesus in an instant, in a moment. Even, guess what? Even Benny Hinn. Let me get something straight with y'all this morning. Because, okay, the big hoopla now is because Pastor Greg Locke went and apologized to Benny Hinn for writing a bad book about him many years ago. Actually, it was entitled Blinded by Benny. He wrote a whole book, but Pastor Greg Locke said, the reason I wrote that book, it wasn't even personal. He said, I hated anybody that talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongues, healing, miracles, casting out demons. He said, I hated that. And he wrote this book. Now, let me just state something about Benny Hinn. I'm going to tell you, I've never spoken much about him over the years. And I'm going to tell you why. Anybody heard me talk about Benny Hinn in all the years I've been preaching? No, even though Benny Hinn did get into error, doctrinal error about the Trinity at one point, he certainly got into error preaching and teaching the hyper-prosperity, give-and-get doctrine, right? And I went to his crusade. How many in here has been to a Benny Hinn crusade? I'm the only one. Mobile, 1991, I was there. And I'm going to tell you right now, the anointing was not there. This is when he was getting off base. Okay? But let's back up before that. When Benny Hinn was strictly pastoring Orlando Christian Center, before he got real big, started doing all these worldwide crusades and everything, he was one of the only preachers that I ever heard teach deliverance for Christians on national TV, and it was anointed. He taught about the blood of Jesus, one of the best sermons I've ever heard on the blood of Jesus. He taught on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. His book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Amazing. All right? But Benny did get into error, and he got off base. Bad. But see, what most people don't know, I looked up all the newspaper articles. You know, Benny Hinn's wife ended up divorcing him in 2012. We've come to find out now for a couple of reasons. Number one, she had become addicted to prescription pills. And because Benny admitted he was never there. He was always gone. And that contributed to the disintegration of their marriage. And Benny did get angry. And he was angry. He said, I was angry at myself and all my failures of the past, of letting my family fall apart. And then he goes off and starts dating Paula White for a little while. And all that comes out, all of it. But that's where everybody stops. This is the truthers. This is their research. It's about where it stops. But nobody knows, or very few people seem to know, that Benny confessed and admitted, I was in error. I got in error. I was in error of the prosperity movement. I was in error of what I taught about giving. He said, I'm not doing that anymore. I have the quotes here from the articles in my phone. He repented and got away from Paula White and went back to his wife, and they restored their marriage and got remarried after only a year of being divorced. Now, I don't know where Benny is today, and I want to say right now, this is not me endorsing Benny Hinn. I don't know where he is spiritually today, doctrinally, because I haven't watched him or listened to him in years, okay? So I don't know him personally. I can't say where he is right now. But Lord, is it not Christian, is it not biblical to actually give him the opportunity to have repented and receive forgiveness and even restoration and to look at him as a brother until, of course, he proves himself differently? What's happened to us? Just because somebody's famous and screws up doesn't make them different than us who nobody knows that screws up. And And to admit, how many big name preachers have you ever seen publicly admit that they got into doctrinal error and they taught the wrong thing for years and they repented of it? How many have you seen do that? Not very many. And you probably won't. But let me just go on and tell you right now, for Pastor Greg Locke to humble himself and go ask for forgiveness to a man that he wrote a book against is called humility. It's actually called love. It's actually giving an opportunity for there to be forgiveness and restoration. That is biblical, folks. I don't care how far somebody falls away or gets in error or in sexual sin or immorality or whatever. They can come back out of it. Goodness, Benny Hinn even publicly rebuked Joel Osteen not too long ago. And he used to never call people's names. So, hear what I'm saying. Do we judge a man by where he was 20 years ago or 10 years ago, or do we judge him by where he is today spiritually? And if the Lord tells me to hang out with somebody, whose business is it of yours who I should hang out with or minister with? Because you don't know what the Lord may be doing. How about this? Maybe the Lord wants to do something else in Benny's life and he wants to use Greg Locke to do it. Who are you to decide what God is going to do, through whom he's going to do it, or how he's going to do it? You get what I'm saying? Don't. It's quiet in here as a Lutheran church, I'm telling you. I love this, though, because you know, Jesus turned to him and said, you know what? I'll tell you, you know why the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, wanted Jesus there? He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah because he just kind of thought he was a prophet. But Jesus was the thing, man. He was famous. He was hip. Everybody was chasing him. Right? Crowds were following Jesus. And I'm sure the Pharisee thought, yeah, man, look, I have this guy over to my house. People think I'm pretty awesome. You know what it did, though? See, be careful when you invite Jesus to your house. Because if you got wrong motives, he's going to expose them. And he exposed this Pharisee's pride, his lack of hospitality to Jesus himself, and exposed his heart. And let me just go on and tell you right now. He said, to whom is forgiven much, loves much, and to whom is forgiven little, loves little. Ain't none of us been forgiven little. See, let me just go on and inform you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all were going to hell. So, if Benny was going to hell at one point or another, you were going there too. Thank God there is forgiveness with him. There is patience. There is love. He could let us fall away, get into error, get into sin, and die there and end up in hell. But he's patient with us. Sometimes, guess what? We're in horrible sin, and he keeps us alive because he knows in the future we're going to repent. Think about that. You know, I imagine during the years that Benny was in doctrinal error and in that prosperity error, I can assure you there was a bunch of preachers in the country that would like to have seen him dead. Because they're Simon the Pharisee. Let's go to another one. Luke chapter 19. See, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of these truthers, the truther movement, they're going to bust hell wide open. They think they got the truth. They're going straight to hell. Putting their scriptures up there, then a little bit later putting up their big beers that they're drinking up on the, like, come on now, which way is it?